escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
I gotta apologize. I forgot that our next guest was coming in at 4 and not 4:30. That's on me. I didn't give him the proper introduction. Former All-Pro, former Super Bowl champion, former you've banged the drum before multiple times.
Yeah.
Mitchell Schwartz.
Without you. Without you.
I don't know why you had to say it like that, man. I don't know why you had to bring that up to
That's
me.
That's the reason you bring up banging the drums, so you can give it to me.
You know, it hurts my heart that I wasn't there when you banged the drum. Mitchell Schwartz is here with us in studio, man. How you been? How's your summer been going?
Been good. Yeah, summer's been good. It was miserably hot at the end of July, and we got out of town, went to L.A. for a little bit, and back now, getting back into the swing of things, literally with golf and also with football. So having a good time.
So there's a lot of stuff I want to get your opinion on. Let's just start here. I think the big question this offseason was, what's the plan at left tackle? They had two possible options. They had Joshua Simmons or Jalen Moore. I think we have our answer now. Josh Simmons is going to be their starting left tackle. You've seen him. You've worked with him. What's your thought process on him being the starting left tackle from day one?
Well, I mean, it's very clear he's taking every single rep there. There's been no competition, so he definitely is the left tackle from what they're showing us in terms of who they're putting on the field. Yeah, I mean, he moves incredibly. I mean, it's, we always kind of call it the curse of the same number. He looks like, the way he moves, a lot like Trent Williams. Now, Trent is much bigger. Trent's, you know, 6'4", 6'5", and 330 plus. Josh is more of a leaner body and those kind of things. But yeah, just the pure explosiveness, the ability to move, the ability to get in space, to, you know, cut off on the backside. There aren't many guys. There's, you know, five at the most that can move like him at the tackle position. So that's exciting. And then seeing, you know, his kind of natural strength, I think some of the clips online look really good. Some of them don't look quite as good. Definitely some technique refinement that needs to happen. But you're trusting that athletic ability, this ability to get to the corner, to get in space, you know, especially when he's pass blocking, the natural. My thing, okay, so to reroute this a little bit, whenever I was going up against a defensive lineman, people are like, well, is he strong? You know, this guy's not that strong. I'm like, well, if he's 6'2", 245, and runs a 4'4", 4'5", like, that's strong. He's going to be strong in some regard. You know, you can't be that explosive, that powerful. So for a guy like him, who's however much he weighs, a little bit, when you look at him on the leaner side of tackles, for being that quick and that explosive, he's going to be strong. So that's where you see that kind of natural strength show up when he's not using the hands quite as well, just the ability to catch guys and sit on it. So that's what you can kind of look down the road and say, all right, when he cleans up the technique and when he gets as pinpoint as some of these top tackles in the league, it's going to be pretty beautiful.
We had Jeff Allen on the show a couple of weeks ago, and he said a lot of what you just said, compared him to Trent Williams, talked about the athleticism. Do you agree that Simmons would have been a top five, top 10 pick had he been healthy and been able to finish out his year at Ohio State? Because one point that I made when we were kind of going through the draft process is, you know, you usually don't find your starting left tackle at 31, 32. You usually got to be aggressive, or you kind of get lucky like the Eagles did with their pick. So I like that I like the fact that the Chiefs took a chance with the player with an injury history. You trust your medical staff. You trust your ability to get him healthy, and you get a guy who could have been the 12th pick, but you get him in the late 30s.
You know, it's interesting. Before camp started, I would have said, yeah, like, you know, we did a better job, medical staff, all that. But the fact that he's just been ready for camp and participated every day, it seems like, you know, I haven't seen him not out there. It would shock me that 31 other teams, or, you know, you say the top five were already set, 26 other teams just looked at a guy like that and said, no, thank you. So, yeah, I mean, I think he should have been a top 5 or 10 pick. That's kind of what everyone was saying. You watch the guys who played last year, and I think he had the cleanest tape of, you know, anybody. Now, some of those guys played against better competition at times, or played against Abdul Carter or some of these other college defensive linemen that were drafted pretty high. But, man, he looked dominant. He looked quick. He looked physical. All the things you want to see from a left tackle. It shocks me that he dropped to 32, because he has turned out to be as healthy as he's been. Many teams need left tackles. Most teams, even if you have a quality left tackle, you still would take a chance on a guy like that who has the upside of a top three, a top one left tackle. So for everyone else, just to not have the medical to be able to take him, it's pretty surprising at this point. But yeah, I mean, based on how he moves, based on how he was playing, I can't imagine there's any scenario that if he wasn't fully healthy, he wouldn't have been a top five, top 10 pick. And, you know, if not the first tackle in that conversation, absolutely.
How would you compare him to a couple of recent tackles who have been drafted? We saw Slater get picked. He was 13th overall, I believe, for the Chargers. Christian Darrisaw was another player who was kind of selected around there. Tristan Wirfs. It sounds like about the range that we think Simmons would have been drafted. How do you think he compares to them as a prospect?
I think Wirfs was very big, very strong, you know, pretty good athlete when he tested. I think he ran something crazy for how big he is. Was a right tackle at the time, so you weren't really, you know, assuming he was going to play left tackle. He was kind of a right side guy, and, you know, historically, those bigger, thicker guys, even as good of an athlete as he is, you just kind of leave on the right side. And he did play right tackle his first, I think, 2 or 3 years before switching over. The other two guys, I mean, Slater was knocked for the arm size thing, but you watched him play, and he used his hands exceptionally well. So that's where the arm length discussion gets interesting, is does it show up on tape? I thought this year, Will Campbell, I thought to me the short arm showed up on tape. I didn't think he used his hands great. I think there were times where he gave up his chest or wasn't able to counter guys who had either average or above average arm length. Relative to him, everyone has long arms, I suppose. But he didn't strike me as someone who used his hands in the best way. So that was Slater's knock, but you watched him and he set beautifully. He got to his spots. He had that really good game in college against Chase Young. Used his left hand particularly well and was super strong against power. You know, he's almost got a body type. This sounds, I have met him. I've talked to him. I'd really like him. This is going to sound not so nice, but like old school PS2 Madden, the way offensive linemen used to be built in the game. He's got that like thicker legs, thicker like midsection compared to a lot of other tackles who are taller and leaner and more spread out in terms of body type. But for Slater, that's great because he has natural leverage. He's a couple inches shorter and he's got the super strong core and lower half, which today it seems like, unfortunately, he might have had a season-ending injury, but allows him to be incredibly strong without using his hands. That's kind of what you see to a similar degree with Simmons, a little bit less left-hand usage with Josh, but just that athleticism, not quite as big or thick as Rashawn, but the natural strength and ability is really awesome. And then Darrisaw was a really great athlete who has seen a bit more raw coming out and someone you could dream upon a little bit. But I think with Josh, when he was playing, you kind of saw everything that you wanted and you just said, all right, if we can clean up a few things, then yeah, we're looking at a top three tackle. So it was pretty much all there. It's just, to me, injury related. I mean, everything I've heard, he works hard, he cares. Those are the things that you really want to see in players, especially first rounders. If you're, you know, wanting to work, if you're looking to get better at all times, even as a rookie, that's really important for kind of long-term potential.
Right now, we're joined in studio by a friend of the show, Mitchell Schwartz, joining us to talk about the offensive line. We'll get his thoughts kind of as the division as a whole. There's a lot of conversation around the Chargers, the Broncos, and the Raiders. You are one of the few people that I know that I can ask this question to. What are some of the challenges that you face as a young tackle in the National Football League? We're talking about a guy starting day one at tackle. You also started day one at tackle. What are some of the challenges that you run into? What's the learning curve for that?
Oh, it's a pretty steep learning curve. The way I always used to say it is, you know, the best guy I faced in college or the best three guys I faced in college didn't really amount to anything in the NFL. Like, everyone you're going to face on a Sunday is as good or better than basically anyone you faced in college. That's the hard part. Like, everyone is really good in the NFL. There are teams that have defensive ends that maybe aren't as good as other teams, but every single guy can beat you one-on-one for a sack. Every single guy brings something to the table that can beat you and that you have to be prepared for. So that's the hard part. And then figuring out, you know, different styles. You know, my personal philosophy on offensive tackle play, you should have a base set of fundamentals that work against most things. If you face certain guys who are freaks or who do things really weird, like Danielle Hunter has this really odd jumpy move and he pins your arm and kind of slithers underneath. Like, that's something that is probably a specific game plan that you have to figure out. Back in the day when the guys were doing the cross chop and they were really quick, like a DeMarcus Lawrence or maybe Yannick those couple years, he was really good. Like, that's maybe a specific move that you have to game plan a little bit more for. But for the most part, you should have your base fundamentals and they should work against most things. And as you get more comfortable, as you learn the offense, you know, for me, it took half a season until things didn't seem like they were going super fast. I wasn't as athletic as other guys. I had a pretty good mental approach. So I felt pretty good about the playbook. That's something some other guys struggle with. You know, if you're out there and you're unsure, that leads to indecision. That makes you slow. So even a guy is freakishly athletic and beautiful to watch as Josh, if he's not sure what he's doing, he's going to react slow. He's going to be laid off the ball. And the athleticism can't shine. So number one for young offensive linemen, it's learn the playbook, learn the snap count, know what you're doing on the field. And then from there, you can kind of play ball and your technique can make up for it. And over the years, you're going to learn, you know, better techniques, more things. I'm going to approach this guy differently than that guy. But early on, it's playbook, knowing what you're doing, using the snap count, and kind of relying on your base fundamentals, which hopefully work against the majority of players.
So let's move over to the right side. You played right tackle. The Chiefs, it would appear that they have figured out who their right tackle is with Juwan Taylor, but you also got Jalen Moore. You gave him $21 million guaranteed. He feels like he's a break in case of emergency. This is kind of how I view it. I think Juwan's going to be their right tackle, and I think that Jalen Moore is waiting to tag in if something goes wrong. I actually think that it's maybe a little bit more likely because the Chiefs have kind of shown it. If something goes wrong with Kingsley, they have shown me they will take him out. Like, they did that in week two and they never really put him back. So I think the person whose job is maybe on notice when it comes to their starting five, I think is Kingsley if he doesn't get off to a good start. They play good pass rushers the first month of the season. You got the Chargers, the Eagles, the Giants got a couple of really good pass rushers. Baltimore has a good pass rush. Like, I could very easily see if he gets off to a rough start, I could see them swapping in Jalen Moore for his position. How do you kind of see the usage for Jalen Moore as this first month of the season unfolds?
Yeah, pretty much exactly that. I think he was signed absolutely with the intention of being the left tackle for the team. I think they liked what he's a big dude. He's thick. He's strong. I think the kind of thing this offseason that we saw was maybe a return to a bit more size, a bit more physicality with the offensive line. Kind of sparked in my head when traded Tooney and kept Trey to re-sign him. You know, why would they do that? I mean, offensive linemen, you know, you're not really that scared of going past 30, especially for a guy as durable as Joe. But then you look at that combined with Jalen Moore and you're thinking, all right, well, Super Bowl obviously was pretty poor. Last year, you could argue, you know, maybe last couple of years offensive line-wise, is Pat as comfortable as he needs to be in the offense? What's the core philosophy with the Chiefs up front? And I think it's just getting back to being stronger up front, being more physical, giving Pat a little bit more space. I mean, you watched Josh Allen last year. Dude had all day in the pocket. That offensive line was fantastic. Now, they've got great players. They got a great coach. You know, they're all doing their part. But it was a pretty stark difference, I think, watching Josh Allen in the pocket versus watching Mahomes in the pocket. And teams were able to start scheming us up a little bit, running twists on the right side with the way Juwan sets and getting them a little bit off levels. And, you know, Pat starts feeling that and starts maneuvering. You got a linebacker over the top ready to chase him down. So I think teams have gotten smarter about how to attack us. So what we said is we're going to get bigger, stronger guys. We're going to keep him clean. We're going to allow him more space in the pocket. He's going to stay in there a little bit more. You know, he's never going to not fully stay in the pocket. He's always going to sprinkle his magic upon it. So that's what I think the kind of emphasis was Kingsley left guard, big strong dude. Jalen Moore left tackle, big strong dude. And then the Josh Simmons opportunity falls to you, and you're not going to not take that guy if the medical's clean and if you think he's going to be as good as he can be. And then Jalen, it's unfortunate that he kind of becomes super sub, but that's essentially what it is. I mean, with Juwan's health, it seems like, you know, for the most part, for Andy Reid training camps, guys are supposed to practice every day and take all the reps. It seems like they've been rotating, from what I can see on Twitter, Jalen in there a little bit more than maybe a quote-unquote normal starter would at right tackle. My guess is that's more health-related than performance-related. I'm sure, you know, Kochek is great at cross-training, so I'm sure Jalen's playing all four positions. So to your point, yeah, if Kingsley falters left guard, I don't assume he will. He played really well against, you know, Denver and Zach Allen last year in a game that he didn't really prepare much for left guard the whole season. All of a sudden, he's playing against one of the best defenses and one of the best interior rushers. So, yeah, Jalen's going to be kind of that super sub role. If it could be Josh. I mean, what if he has the first two games Kingsley did? Can you take him out for a couple games, let him reset? Sure. If Kingsley, if Juwan, I mean, the likelihood of all five guys getting through the season completely healthy is pretty low. So, yeah, I think it's a great spot to be. And then even behind him, you still got guys like Caliendo, you know, Hunter Norzad is doing well, some of the other younger tackles. So it's, we've shown historically, unfortunately, that you need to have great offensive linemen and you need to have, you know, two or three at least high-quality backups that can come in and allow the team to, because again, this isn't get through the season 11-6 and get to the, you know, divisional game. This is, we need to win the Super Bowl. That's our goal. What allows us to reach that ceiling and not having quality depth on the offensive line, unfortunately, is a big reason for those two losses.
So there has been a lot of conversation about the Chiefs offense kind of bouncing back when it comes to the deep ball. They've mentioned it a lot the last couple of years. Pat just talked about it earlier today. Is that on the offensive line and maybe them not giving Pat as enough time as necessary? Has that been just a wide receiver issue? Last year, they kind of had this vision of having these big three wide receivers. They were just never really healthy all at the same time. How much of that do you think is the offensive line? And you mentioned the pocket and not creating that pocket. How much of that was a lack of weapons last year and them not maybe having the infrastructure in place to be a heavy hitting kind of deep ball passing team?
Well, it's one of those, it's a little bit of everything, but I feel like it is a little bit of everything. You know, yeah, that vision of what the receiver group was going to look like last year was fantastic. And then literally first catch in preseason, Hollywood goes down, is out for a really long time. Obviously, Rasheed gets hurt when he's on pace to have, I don't know, 160 catches and 1,800 yards, whatever those numbers were after two or three games. And then X, you know, every young receiver, this offense is really complicated, really difficult, and I think X did a great job throughout the course of the season. Got a couple late touchdowns in the Super Bowl that makes those numbers maybe look a little bit better, but those are still quality reps in a Super Bowl against everybody. So, yeah, I think you dream on what this looks like, and you've got a lot of different pieces that can play a lot of different roles. I think it's a little bit, you know, scheme, offensive line related, a little bit. Pat has said, you know, he missed a couple he wants back. That's the point of emphasis for him this year, to get back to being slightly more accurate on some of those deep balls. But if you don't have kind of the full trust of everybody, it's really difficult. I mean, those aren't high percentage throws. Those are low percentage throws. This has still been a top offense, you know, despite what it feels like. It's just the offense has shifted into this kind of 2013 to 2015 Andy Reid feeling offense, that it's a bunch of short passes and screens and run game that gets you 4 or 5 yards with nothing explosive. So yeah, I think getting back to the vertical, and it's also the way defenses are playing. Like, that's still the threat, is Mahomes throwing a bomb to Xavier, to whoever. And I think for a guy like Pat, who's so smart, he can know before the snap, well, that guy's supposed to be taken away, and he can get off that really quickly. And maybe there's a time or two that a guy beats him regardless if it's double coverage, and maybe I should have gone there and looked at him. But the mental processing is almost so quick that it can be a detriment at times. So I think just kind of waiting those things out, seeing if the guy's open, and then ripping it. So it's a little bit of everything, but I think that's got to be one of the goals this year, to bring the verticality back, to open the space up, you know, 30, 40, 50 yards, and then that frees up the underneath even more.
Right now, we're joined in studio by Mitchell Schwartz for a few more minutes here. I want to get your thoughts on the division. The division has definitely changed. The three teams are much better at coach than they were when you were in the league. The three teams are much better at quarterback than when you were in the league as well. But I'm sort of that, you know, seeing is believing. Yes, the Chargers are better. The Broncos are better. I think the Raiders are going to be one of the more improved teams in the league because of coach, quarterback. You also add a very dynamic running back. I got to see those teams beat the Chiefs when it really matters. And there is a difference in being a 9-11 win team or a 15 win team the way that Kansas City is. I think the conversations about those team winning the division is pretty premature. Sure, if you got the Broncos making the playoffs, that's sure. But there's a difference between being a playoff team and a Super Bowl team. I don't see the other three teams as a Super Bowl contending team. I see them as teams that could possibly be good this year.
Yeah, I think they can be good. And then depending on the circumstances of the other teams could, you know, shift things in the playoffs. If one or two of the four top quarterbacks aren't playing to their level, if a key offensive lineman goes down, if a key defensive player goes down, maybe things get a little bit squirrely in the division. But yeah, I mean, all three have the potential or should be 9-10, potentially 11 win teams. There might be a little bit of attrition with everybody playing each other, but I think the Raiders have a chance to be really good. I mean, Pete Carroll's always won 10 plus games. Geno is probably better than most people think, unless you're really into it and you realize how good he can be because of the offensive line in Seattle, because of some play calling stuff. Chip Kelly's a great offensive coach. So I think they've got the foundation for what looks like a really fun offense to watch, honestly. And defense, yeah, is going to be a little bit tricky, but we've seen, I mean, if a defense can be 18th overall and the offense can be 8th overall, that's a much better proposition than the 12th best defense and the 18th best offense. So you're looking at that. And then, Chargers, again, Harbaugh gives you a certain floor. That's going to be a tough physical team year two of him. Now, the Slater injury might throw things off if it's long-lasting, potentially move Joe Alt to left tackle.
It didn't look good for Slater today.
No, it didn't. So that would be a major concern for me with the Chargers, because those two tackles are them and Herbert, the cornerstone of your offense, and a little bit of Ladd McConkey, and then the way Harbaugh likes to run things. So that's a good defense as well. And you look at the Broncos, potentially best defense in the NFL, a pretty solid offense. And, yeah, they're all kind of in that 10-win, which is not necessarily Super Bowl. To your point, one thing you did say, though, in terms of the quarterbacks from when I was there, would you rather have had the last 2 years of Peyton Manning or Bo Nix right now? How do you compare those two?
I think I'd rather have last year's version of Bo Nix than the Peyton Manning. The last, he just made a lot of mistakes, and I felt like they were like really, really carried by their defense. I kind of like this Broncos team. I think they got a chance to be pretty decent this year. I love what the additions that they've made to the run game with J.K. Dobbins and R.J. Harvey. Harvey was a guy that I wanted the Chiefs to be interested in. I liked a couple of their young receivers. Their offensive line is good. Like, I can definitely see why people are high on the Broncos coming into the year. Rob's really high on the Broncos. I'm with you with the Raiders. I think the Raiders have a chance to be this year's version of the Broncos. The team that just kind of catches people out of nowhere, ends up winning 9 games, ends up grabbing that 7th wild card or that 7th spot in the wild card. I'm high on the Raiders this year.
Yeah, to me, again, they should be kind of that 10-11 win team. They could start feeling themselves. The offense, if Chip has some kind of crazy thing and Geno's playing really well, the offensive line keeps playing good, Genty goes off, you know, they have the pieces there to be a really good offense. And then defensively, you can get by on just having a good offense and playing hard. Like, you don't necessarily always have to be the greatest. If your offense is taking care of the ball, if they're doing the right things, then, yeah, you can definitely make things happen if the offense is clicking. So, I'm a fan of football as much as the rivalry is. Like, as a player, you maybe don't feel it quite as much as the fans who have been rooting for teams or rooting against teams for 30, 40, 50 years. I like watching good football. I would rather those teams be good. I'd rather watch good football. So I am really excited for the weather.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
The AFC West looks.
I'll get you out of here with this last question. Micah Parsons, the Cowboys, just they always find themselves in the yearly drama, you know? Like, it was kind of quiet for them. It is no longer quiet for them. I think we do this game with the Cowboys every offseason. I'm guessing somewhere around September 1st, right around Labor Day, we end up hearing that Micah Parsons is the highest paid defensive player in the league. So I haven't really spent too much time worried about it. What's your perception of what's going to happen in Dallas?
I assume they sign him. This one does seem a little more contentious than normal. I mean, Dallas always kind of dips their toes into the frustrating the player by, you know, making things maybe more public or saying a negative thing or two. But I think the flip side is Parsons has a much bigger audience than the other guys, and he's more active on social media and speaking his mind, and he's got the podcast and how visible he is. So I think it's a combination of both. But at the end of the day, I mean, Dallas always pays their players. They have a standoff, and seems like everyone kind of assumes that Jerry loves this kind of thing. And as long as people are talking about the Cowboys, it's a good thing. So yeah, I fully expect he'll sign. Honestly, my guess is they're fighting over years. I would assume Micah wants 3-4 years at the most. My guess is Dallas wants 5 years. So it's probably less about the annual average, which he's going to, you know, get 42 or whatever it is. It's probably more about the fourth or fifth year.
Have you already been to the Mahomes and Kelce Steakhouse? Because if there's anybody I know that's already been there,
I have not.
You also were like a consultant, probably. You probably cooked a few meals
No, I wish I was. I'll get there. You know, everything on social media looks pretty good.
It looks pretty tasty.
So I will, I'll definitely try it. And, probably can't post a non-biased review of that place, so I'm sure it'll be good.
Do you have me as your plus one? For you know they're going to have some big grand opening thing, and I'm telling you that I'm available to be your plus one.
I'll put that in my calendar as a potential. No guarantees.
Okay, that is our guy, Mitchell Shorts, joining us in studio today to talk about the Chiefs' offensive line and some of the top storylines in the NFL. Mitch, man, look forward to having you as football's back, man.
Thank you.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.